I'm James.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lee at Just One More Fix.
A proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
three, two, one.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, and welcome everyone. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, and oh my gosh, we are back, Team PopX.
We're back.
Oh, it feels good. Feels so good, Joe.
Back in the saddle again.
Let's just have a moment of like,
oh, everybody just breathe out. Come on.
I feel wonderful.
Oh, yeah. All right. So,
got motivated.
I hope everybody has had an amazing summer. And oh my gosh, I know I've had a jam-packed summer. Alex and I have been going and visiting wonderful Walt Disney World this past summer and have been doing all kinds of cool stuff. We want to say hello to Miss Stacy Bryuka, Darth Baca, Luke, and we got Gwen's dad hanging out with us right here on the chat room.
Hi, friends.
Yeah. Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
And so if you want to help us get some listeners and some viewers in here, please go right now, go ahead and share this link, popx.live. Share it on your Twitter, Instagram, your Facebook, or wherever. And we would love to have you to join in and share the fun of PopX, because we are just a bunch of nerds that love to do nerdy things. Can I get an amen? Come on now.
Amen.
Come on. Preach it.
Preach it. All right. So, hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We would like to welcome everyone joining us live in the PopX.live and the Geeks.live chat room. Come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed episode 60 a long time ago, Spider-Man Homecoming review and more, check our official website at PopXcast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX.
And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky okie. Make sure that after the show you head over to Google Play or iTunes and click that subscribe button. Make sure you catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we certainly appreciate you showing us some awesome love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review.
Oh, yes. Couldn't have said it. And let me say this. It's good to have Mikey back.
I am so glad to have Mikey back.
Mikey has been away. He's been doing some stuff. He's been taking care of his kids. His kids are off to college. Mikey's gone through puberty. No, I'm just messing with him. Anyway.
Whoa.
That's the worst.
Not Mikey. This Mikey right here. This one. Yeah, oh. He's going through changes. He's metamorphosizing into a dragon, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. The last time I saw him, he had fire coming out of his nostrils.
Oh, okay. I was about to ask you, is it a fire dragon or an ice dragon?
It's a bad weekend.
I don't know. I took him to Subway one day and there was fire coming out of his nose. And I'm like, man, you might want to like fix
that. It's the jalapeno.
He said, but I wanted my sub toasted.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's why.
Right. That is okay. Nice. Nice. All right. I don't know what's going on right now. But anyway, all right. So we're going to get right on into the news. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Ah, yes. I missed that old school intro, you know?
I missed it so much.
It's the small things in life. But anyway, so the past week on August the 28th, comic fans around the world celebrated the 100th birthday of none other than Mr. Jack Kirby. Now, you may recall from our history of pop culture that we did a few months back, he was one of the forefathers, if you will, of comic of Marvel and DC Comics. And DC Comics has announced a 6-1-shot series featuring characters such as Mr. Miracle, the Black Racer, the Newsboy Legion, Darkseid, Orion, the OMAC, and Manhunter, and which are just a few of the characters created by the King of Comics himself. Marvel Comics will also pay tribute to Comic Book Master with a round of introductory comics featuring some of the greatest Marvel creations titled True Believer, Kirby 100th Series. Also, Kirby was honored at the Disney D23 Expo this past year and recognized as a Disney legend right alongside Mr. Stan Lee.
Oh. Yay!
Jack Kirby, man, he's always getting overlooked. And yeah. That's how I feel. I mean, Stan Lee's awesome, but Jack Kirby, man, he was right there. And to me, he is, along with Stan Lee,
absolutely,
the man.
Yeah.
The man.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about something that has been on everybody's minds. We're talking about the summer box office.
Okay.
Summer movie season has wrapped up, and the final numbers have come in for superhero movies, and it will be Wonder Woman taking the top spot in the domestic box office with $406 million in the United States. This tops Guardians of the Galaxy 2 with $389 million and Spider-Man Homecoming. It's still racking in the money. Also, Wonder Woman has been the largest grossing film ever for an origin story. Now, how do you guys feel? For me, Wonder Woman, this was third on my list behind these two movies before the summer started. So I'm very surprised that it got to $406 million, but people came out, man.
I'm going to say it's well-deserved.
Absolutely.
Well-deserved.
I think for me, you can go back and check out our Wonder Woman review here on PopX, but for me personally, Wonder Woman was one of the better DC origin stories that we have seen coming out of the DC family. And I'm hopeful that they, you know, keep the trend going. And there's a lot of rumors going on right now about Leonardo DiCaprio is coming back as a Joker origin story. There's a lot of like those moments. There are cringe moments where you're just like, oh, really? And so, you know, we tried to see that with the Suicide Squad. Kind of was okay. The story was cool. Maybe not. The characters are probably the highlight of the entire film. Story, not so much. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
Wonder Woman, she turned, I mean, for me, the DCEU was struggling, but I think Wonder Woman really turned it around. If Justice League capitalizes on what Wonder Woman did, that makes the DCEU to me in competition with what Marvel can do maybe in the future. Because that's two good movies in a row.
Yeah.
And to me, Man of Steel was awesome too. So,
yes, it was. Yeah. Agreed.
Well, you guys, with summer being wrapped up and we're sliding into fall, because you guys know that the PSL is out, right?
Yes.
You know, pumpkin spice lattes for everybody. Also, we get our favorite TV shows coming back in the fall. It's right around the corner with the DC Arrowverse preparing for its fall season, the return with a new super season trailer. Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and The Legends of Tomorrow all return for their respective new seasons, teasing some exciting new footage and an all-around feel-good for fans.
Wow.
It all starts with Supergirl on Monday, October 9th, The Flash on Tuesday, the 10th, Legends of Tomorrow on October the 10th. So we have two. We have a double that day, guys.
Yes, we do.
Popcorn ready. You're going to have a doubleheader on October the 10th. And then an Arrow is on Thursday, October 12th. So, guys, fall is my favorite TV season, all the good stuff starts coming back out. And of course, you know, Game of Thrones is wrapped up. So I'm ready for something new. Yeah. I'm ready for something new.
It's exciting. And I know that everybody out there is so excited to see what happens at the end of Arrow season 6. We're all just like, what happened? You know, so they're keeping us on the edge of our toes. And for that, that's really good story writing. And hats off to all the producers and directors for that. So moving on here to some video game related news. NetherRealm Studios will be offering their latest fighter pack for DC fighting game Injustice 2. Now, Fighter Pack 2 has officially been revealed and brings with it some DC villains, including Black Manta, Mortal Kombat's own fighter, Raiden. Raiden. And then the world's greatest occult detective himself, Hellboy, as a playable character for the first time. Oh my gosh. And I'm pretty much excited for that. I'm glad I got the season pass on Injustice 2 because I get it for free. So
worth it.
Yeah. That's awesome. The new pack will be available for purchase on September the 12th with the first fighter available for early access earlier that day.
You guys.
Yeah.
This is getting us geared up for the new Hellboy movie too, because you know you got the reboot coming and you got Hellboy fighting with the DC here. I'm sorry.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, man. Yeah, I know.
Very awesome.
Good time to be a nerd.
But it is a great time to be a nerd, an even better time to be a nerd when the brand new season of Preacher comes out on AMC. AMC's action comedy Preacher is already gearing up for season number 3. While there hasn't been any official announcement just yet, rumor has it that AMC is already making arrangements to continue filming several more episodes of Preacher in its current location in New Orleans. So how do you guys feel about Preacher coming back?
Well, I saw all of Preacher season 1, and I have probably 2 or 3 episodes into 2. It's really good.
It's good, man.
It's really good. I mean, if you're offended easily by Christianity and some of the things that they do and stuff like that, then yeah,
they're edgy.
It could be you're pushing the envelope a little bit, but
yeah,
but it's definitely.
I remember when we did our first show, talking about the backstory a little bit of Preacher, and I haven't gotten to this one on my list yet. I backburnered it on purpose because I was so logged back on all the DC Arrowverse stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm gonna have to probably keep it back on the burner because it's starting to fire back up again. I forgot about it. So I'll get it there.
The struggle is real because we're living in an era where there is so many shows right now.
Oh my gosh.
It's
golden age.
It's technically impossible to keep up with everything unless you have no life.
And I think that I would really, really enjoy this show. So I really don't want to forget it. You guys don't let me forget about Preacher.
I know we won't. We will not.
Well, coming up next, we've got some Lego news. Lego has been releasing their latest Star Wars The Last Jedi playsets, leading up to their largest playset ever released.
Wow.
Coming out on October 1st, they are re-releasing the Millennium Falcon, but it's bigger, ladies and gentlemen, at a whopping 7,541 little pieces that you can drop on the floor and walk on and say really bad words. But it comes with a price, ladies and gentlemen, of $799. And of course, the 99 cents rounded up to $800.
Alrighty then.
This is not one that your kid will probably be getting from Santa Claus unless you're just really,
did
really
nice. Did you just say this set is $800?
I did. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy. I have. Nope. That's, I don't know what. No, okay.
There's some hardcore fans, you know, they're going to be lining up around the block for Toys R Us whenever this releases. So.
Yeah. Not me.
I think I'll pass.
I won't be one of those nerds. I love me some Star Wars, but not that much.
Nope.
Alrighty then. Well, moving on here, and just want to pause here for a second to remind everyone, if you're watching and listening, please share the feed out on your social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to do. It's all at PopXCast. So moving on here, and this is just released in September the 1st, the legendary comic book series, The Inhumans, will be brought to new life in a way that has never been done before. as a version of the first two episodes will be shown globally in IMAX theaters for a two-week period beginning September the 1st, 2017. So you have, we're almost, I guess, a full weekend, so you've got another week to go catch it in IMAX. Now, ABC will then air the entirety of the series throughout this fall season on the network, with additional exclusive content that can only be seen on ABC. Now, the TV premiere date for the series will be Friday, September the 29th from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So there you go. Hmm.
Interesting. Are you guys excited for Inhumans? I'd like to hear your thoughts because I'm not hearing good things.
I've not heard good things either, and that kind of concerns me a little bit. And this is coming from the same director who made Luke Iron Fist.
Iron Fist. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the That's same great. Guy that made Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Directed. I'm not. No disrespect. We're not disrespecting anybody's work, their body of work, or their artistic creative motivation. I'm just saying Iron Fist, when it dropped on Netflix, came with lackluster reviews.
It did.
And
for sure.
So the same individuals that are doing that is now doing Inhumans and have taken a iconic family from Marvel Universe. This is almost equivalent to maybe doing Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And it's coming in a really bad. It's like 4.5 star reviews out of 10.
Yeah.
Not good.
We're a little scary. But,
dishing out for the IMAX, but I would definitely like to catch it just to say I saw it.
Yeah. For sure. On television? Absolutely. I'm gonna try to watch it.
Yeah.
So, let's switch it over to the upcoming Blade Runner sequel. The upcoming Blade Runner sequel, Blade Runner 2049, has an extra long runtime. In fact, it's significantly longer than the original 1982 film. According to Variety, the film will keep you in your seat for 2 hours and 32 minutes. I'm fine with that. With an additional 11-minute credit sequence. That makes it 35 minutes longer than the original film, which had a runtime of 1 hour and 57 minutes. So first off, I want to know, are you guys Blade Runner fans, and do you mind if this one's longer?
You know what? I am a huge Blade Runner fan.
That a boy.
And my English teacher, when I was a senior in high school, for the first time, exposed his entire class to Blade Runner and the awesome. World of Ridley Scott.
Awesome. That's an awesome English teacher.
Yes, he is. As a matter of fact, he was at Dragon Con this weekend. If that tells you how awesome
that's awesome.
We're actually friends on Facebook. But anyway, so cool. I am a huge fan of Blade Runner. When it came out on the Blu-ray, the director's cut 25th anniversary edition,
yeah.
I purchased that. And it's definitely a film that is beautiful and even holds up to today's special effects.
It does.
It's timeless.
It does.
I mean, some of the stuff, absolutely. I don't know how they did it back in the day, but it's...
Yes.
Absolutely marvelous, yeah.
Well, yeah. You know what they say, Austin. Longer is better.
Well, they say that to a lot of people. I've never heard it.
Wow. Sometimes they're wrong, though, so I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I like that, Lindsay. That's good.
that's a good perspective, Lindsay.
That's interesting.
I
All righty, then.
Okay.
That's what you keep me here for, is a different perspective.
It is. It is. And, you know, while we're on the vein of Blade Runner, if there is a segue short mini film, it's a mini short that was released on YouTube. It's about 8 minutes long, and it kind of bridges the gap between the original Blade Runner and 2049. So it kind of sets up, if you will, a little bit of the storyline and what's happening, bridges the gap between the two films. So definitely check it out. It's on YouTube. And just find it. It's really cool. It's so we are going to dive into now the PopX Hit It of the week.
Whoa, slow your roll. We have one more, and it's probably the most important of the night, if you ask me.
I'm so sorry. I was so excited.
We've got one more. I know. I'm getting excited about coming up next, too.
I'm so excited. Okay.
Just calm down. Right. I know. It's been a month. It's okay.
Okay.
All right, you guys. We've got some more TV show. Well, it's technically a TV show. It's a Netflix show. And my favorite of all times Netflix show.
What is it?
The second season of Netflix's Stranger Things. It's not set to air till October 27th. The co-creators, Ross and Matt Duffer, have already confirmed Oh, when I saw this come out, I was like yelling at my computer. You just don't even know. Okay, so during an interview, Ross said that the series will likely be a 4-season thing and then out.
Oh.
Please just tell me. Just tell me there's more after
that. My heart.
The imagined 4th season hasn't actually been greenlit yet.
Okay.
Also, the Duffer brothers reveal a few minor details about the 2nd season.
Okay.
Mainly that it will feel more like a movie sequel than a TV show. Cool. I'm okay with that.
Wow.
As for the just confirmed 3rd season, the brothers say the storyline will probably have to move outside the small fictional town of Hawkins, Indiana, and we will just have to keep adjusting the story, Matt says. Though I don't know if we can justify something bad happening to them every year.
That's a good point.
So I can see where they're putting a definitive end because, you know, stories do get stale over time if you're not introducing new characters, which right now we haven't seen any new characters. I've heard of a couple of new ones that are coming in this new season, but
Sean Astin.
Yes, yes. So you guys, I am so excited about this. I think I'm equally as excited about pumpkin spice latte as I am about this. So I've already had my pumpkin spice this week. So this is going to complete my fall. Oh. And I'll be done.
Yes, absolutely.
I will be done.
Well, you know, before we go into the hit it's of the week, and we all pretty much have a hit it. So I was wanting to share in the vein of fall, Halloween Horror Nights 27 from Universal Hollywood and Universal Orlando has just debuted some of their houses. And one of the houses this year, if you're a horror movies fan, this is right up your alley, is the House of Blumhouse. And so they are doing Sinister, The Purge, and Insidious. So you get to see all 3 incarnations of their masterful productions come to life.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Anyway. That's Joe. You better go to that, man.
See, you need to get your hind end down here, Austin. He's so landlocked in Kentucky. God bless his heart.
Actually, I'm poor.
He needs a GoFundMe for his GoFundMe.
GoFundMe for Blumhouse Haunted House.
Can you just do Facebook Live?
Anywho, so we're going to go right on into PopX Hit It of the Week. We'll be right back. Going to play that Hit It's tag, and so don't go nowhere.
And now it's time for PopX's Hit It of the Week.
Lindsay Badger, so you are going to be leading out this week's Hit It. What do you have for us?
Awesome. I have some great show and tell items this week. It's been cycling through the social medias, this fantastic line of makeup that is by Marvel. And that they, in the video, they say that it's not available in the United States anywhere. You can only get it in like North Korea or Europe or somewhere. And so basically you can pay an arm and a leg on Amazon to get it shipped to you, or you can get it at a slightly more discounted price on eBay. And of course, you know, the nerd in me said, shut up and take my money. Mm-hmm. So I went over to the eBays and I got some goodies to share with you guys. Okay, so
let's see what we got. Let's see what we got here.
I'm gonna go through it pretty quick. Okay, so they basically feature 4 of the characters. You've got Thor and Spider-Man. These are nail polish combos.
Dude.
Okay. And then the Black Widow.
Spider-Man, cool. Iron Man, and Thor.
Iron Man, Thor, and Black Widow. Yes, all 4 of those guys. So basically all the pieces have something for each of these characters. So I got all the nail polishes. I did not get everything because I'm not that rich.
Yeah.
We've got fantastic. Check this out.
Marvel. Hey. Is that lipstick?
That's cool. It's lipstick.
Marvel branded lipstick?
I've never seen that in my life.
I would look good. Austin, you would look good in that.
Dude, it looks like that.
Sign up. It's on my lip.
Oh, my God. You've got those Tony Stark lips.
Flaunt that.
Spidey and Iron Man eyeshadow palettes. And I'm going to open this up because it's actually quite neat.
Okay.
They have little comic books. It's the little paper that keeps the powder off the mirror. And then you've got your stuff in there.
That is so freaking epic. And where can people get this, Lindsay?
I found it. I searched for it on eBay. Okay. That's how I bought it. But you can also get it on Amazon. And they've got mascaras and eyeliners of I believe they have a black and a gold as well to match with the
that makes sense.
My favorite, they need to have an Incredible Hulk.
They need to have purple and green up.
Yes. This is my favorite.
Look at that compact. Holy cow.
That's
even it even yeah. has Marvel on the little powder thing.
This yeah. makes me want to wear makeup.
Yeah. This yeah. is like for the girly nerds. Okay, we don't get a lot of girly on this show, so I'm just going to take a minute and
hey,
roll
Austin,
it up.
If you want to go, if you want to go and drag next episode, we can do that.
So, and of course, I didn't buy a Marvel bag to go with it. This does not come with it, but I did find a Marvel bag for all of my Marvel makeup to
That's
go in.
That's pretty legit,
ladies and gents. That is my hit it of the week.
That's.
And yeah. this is my Marvel face. That's, I'm wearing all Marvel
she's
stuff
She's wearing the
today.
Marvel face tonight. So, you know, that's amazing. And so
to, even have to, Iron Man.
To buy it, you just, how do you, can you repeat that one more time on how people can actually find this? And stuff?
Yeah, I just searched for Marvel makeup.
Marvel makeup, okay.
On
Is there a company
eBay.
That produces it or?
It's The Face Shop.
The Face
is
Shop.
The brand.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if I get see.
Okay.
The
Face Shop. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That's the actual brand. It came straight from North Korea to my house. It took forever to get
here.
Wait,
North Korea?
North Korea.
So it's nuclear.
No, I don't
oh my
think
God.
It,
okay,
it was
I
Korea.
Just,
I don't think it was
hey
North
man,
Korea.
It's the Hulk.
I'm just messing with you.
It's perfectly.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Bruce Banner. All right. Speaking of radioactive, we have none other than.
I like that.
Mike Ippolito coming on right now, and he is going to join us because Mike actually went to Dragon Con this year, this Ooh. Past weekend, and hung out with a couple of people that is PopX veterans. We were cool. talking about retro blasting. So, Mike, what's up, dude?
Not much. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Good to be back. Yeah, I was able to get over to Dragon Con this weekend. It's now a 5-day event. Used to be 4. They start on a Thursday to go to today. They closed out today.
Okay.
And I was able to go. Well, actually, the main reason that I went was for retro blasting because I usually kind of catch them when they're, you know, close by. And just their panels were amazing. They had 80s cartoons. Mm-hmm. It was like over 300 cartoons that they were talking about. Within an hour, they were able to condense. They weren't able to cover everything, but a good amount. And they had a Indiana Jones, A Hilarious History. And they showed basically all the mistakes that was in all the Indiana Jones
Really?
Movies. That's awesome.
Wow.
They reached capacity for the Indiana Jones. So
wow. That's
but,
cool.
I'll probably be, we'll have to get with them and we'll definitely, we invited them. I invited them back to the show and they're more than happy to come back. So we just have to kind of work that out. And
yeah.
Also, there was a lot of interesting experiences at Dragon Con. There was a lot of things I will never unsee.
Oh.
And,
well.
Some things I just don't understand and never will. But I was able to attend the Flash panel and the Legends of Tomorrow. And during the Flash panel, I was able to get a question out to John Wesley Shipp. And I was able to get kind of like a one-on-one question with him. And that was pretty exciting.
What was the question?
I basically asked him, since once they announced the Flash coming back, you know, was trying to be part of the show, was that something he wanted to do or he was approached by his
That's
by
a
the
good
show.
Question. Yeah.
And, that's awesome.
Basically, he said that, he was good with them rebooting the show. He had no problems at all. And then the show did approach him.
Wow.
And it was basically he wasn't sure what character he was going to play. And if it wasn't something that he liked, he wasn't going to do it. But when they offered him the Henry Allen part, he said he was more than happy to do it. And he just loves being
well,
part of it.
Well, now he's none other than Jay Garrick. So,
yeah.
So I mean, from one iconic role into another, I think John Wesley Shipp has an amazing piece in all of our hearts.
Yes.
So,
yeah. It was pretty amazing. There's actually one quick picture I took that I wanted to show of shows what kind of dedication people have.
Okay.
This is a BB-8 that someone created, full motion, and it was the entire piece was 3D printed.
3D?
Wow.
Thousands of hours that
Shut
was put
up and
into
take
this.
My nerd badge. Yeah. That's amazing.
The guy, I didn't have a chance to really talk to him, but he had thousands of hours into it. I was just kind of overhearing the conversation.
That is
and
unbelievable.
They just drew crowds of this thing just spinning around, and it was just like it was unbelievable just to see this thing in action. That shows the dedication of people. I mean, wow. it's done to the T. That's awesome. I mean, except for the colors, but the entire thing was 3D printed.
Man, that's pretty phenomenal, Mike. That would be cool to see that. And I know that there's a guy I follow on Instagram. His name is Hurley Effect, Hurley FX, and he actually created a full-size Groot costume, complete with boss and all of that. Wow. And this year he did attend Dragon Con as Ben Affleck's Batman. So he actually 3D printed and created his entire bat suit and the cowl itself.
Dude.
So, but, all right, so we're going to move on. Thanks, Mike. It's good to see your face, sure. as always, my
yes.
friend. Yes.
Mikey.
And so now I'm going to talk a little bit, a couple things. Number one is kind of quick, but I picked this book up the other day at the comic book shop, and it kind of caught my eye. And it's called The Superhero Devotional. Now, I'm going to give you a quick little thing about it. You're like, what the heck is that? Well, so what it is it has 60 characters in it. And the author of the book actually gives us a little backstory about the character, their cinematic backstory, and then actually ties it in with a biblical connotation. So it's kind of cool.
That's really neat.
It's really neat. So he kind of compared the Incredible Hulk to Samson from the Bible. It was kind of neat. And so that was a definite nerd nugget if you're into that. So the next one also up, and I actually have a little video of this. I'm going to see if I can try to load it up, is the Call of Duty private beta. Now, I actually got to be able to experience the private beta this past weekend. And, of course, I got some video here rolling while we're talking in the background. But it's really good. And if you're a fan of Call of Duty, and especially, you know, since past probably Ghosts, Black Ops 3, Infinite Warfare, we've kind of seen a little bit of a digital transition where you get jetpacks and boosters, and they've taken books out of like Titanfall and all of this stuff. And they've taken all kinds of little elements from games that works in the industry and kind of made it their own and really kind of gotten away from the core of Call of Duty, which is actually modern warfare. So yeah. The new game is probably one of the best multiplayer first-person platform games I've seen in a long time coming out of the Call of Duty franchise. And it goes back to the old school. There is no boosters or wall jumping or wall clinging or wall – none of this crap. Or booster packs that make you hover. This is straight up World War II combat. And as you can see from video here, they have went back and done some amazing detail on some of the old school type ammo and the guns. But everything is just traditional to like – it's like you're playing Modern Warfare but on like crack cocaine. And the graphics are beautiful. Of course, I played it all weekend, and I had an amazing time playing it. So definitely highly recommend it.
The graphics do look really, really nice.
Yeah, it was amazing. So definitely had fun with that. And so that was my little Call of Duty spiel. But
and I'm sure you enjoyed killing my husband over and over again.
Yeah, there is a story here. So I saw that Lindsay's husband, Josh, was in a room playing. I'm like, So I went, and there's this feature. You can join his lobby and play. So I joined, and I saw him running around, you know, and killing a couple of people, and I just kept following him. He had no idea I was behind him, and I would kill him, and then I would, like, follow him again to where his spawn was and kill him again.
Oh, no.
I was that guy.
That's awesome.
I was that guy.
That's awesome.
Let's just say there were some choice words used in my household.
Oh, that's when you know it's fun.
The beautiful thing about it, he didn't know it was me. So with all of that said, guys, we're going to go in now into our Defenders part of the show. We're actually going to talk about the Defenders and what we liked, what we didn't like, and all of that stuff. We are going to play the spoiler alert warning because some of the things we're going to be talking about will be revealing the plot points, the story, the endings, and all that stuff. So if you've not seen The Defenders, this is your point where you probably want to hit pause, watch The Defenders, and then come back and enjoy PopX episode 61, yeah. Okay? So we're going to roll that, and we'll be right back.
Danger. You are about to enter a PopX spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
All right, so you have been warned, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to dive into a little bit about the Defenders. So what is the Defenders? If you're just joining us today and you have no idea, all right, what the heck are what are you guys even talking about? So Marvel and Netflix have signed a deal to where Netflix can produce, you know, some of its superheroes from the Marvel universe into a streaming television show. And of course, the series kicked off with Daredevil a few years ago and then followed up with Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and evidently we're getting a Punisher in November, which is supposed to be coming out. But so basically it's kind of like, you know how Marvel did with their cinematic universe? They started with Iron Man and then they went with Captain America and just started expanding their entire universe. Kind of the same thing with Netflix. They started with Daredevil and expanded to the other superheroes. And The Defenders is the culmination of about 4 years of thinking and writing and shows where all the heroes in this world become the Defenders of New York. So it's really cool. And so I was reading the comments over here in the chat room. The chat room is like blowing up right now. I'm like reading it. It's really cool. But I think honestly, The Defenders for me was I enjoyed it. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. Now, here's a little thing for you guys. If you don't know, The Defenders is 8 episodes. All right. So I'm gonna go with the negative first, and then I want to come back with the positive, and then we're all going to chime in. I want to hear, Austin, what you thought about it. Lindsay, I want to hear what you thought about it. I think, honestly, with their seasons, they can probably get by with 8 episodes. But when they have these kind of culmination-type shows where everybody's coming together, I think the storyline needs to be expanded a little more, and then you need that. That's where you need to start doing the 12 episodes. And I think 8 episodes for a smaller season like Daredevil or Jessica Jones, I think that's perfectly fine. Now, this is all me in my opinion, but I kind of felt with 8 episodes that the last 3 episodes in the entire season was probably a little bit rushed. It kind of felt, I don't know if that sounds pretty accurate, but it kind of felt like, okay, so this is a bad thing. This is where they're getting into. This is what's happening. And boom, there it is. And then and roll credits, it's done. And I kind of felt like, oh, there was just nothing for me to kind of tag on to, even though they went through and they set up the next seasons for each of the superheroes. Of course, you know, Misty Knight lost her arm. Jessica Jones got her new door, which sets up a new Jessica Jones season 2. We've already heard that the Purple Man's supposed to be coming back. Luke Cage is set up for a season 2. Daredevil 3 is set up for another season. So, Austin, I want to hear what you thought about this before I actually start tooting my own horn. I want to hear what you had to say about it.
Well, Joe, it's interesting because I went into this slightly optimistic, but we were all coming off Iron Fist. So we had a sour taste in our mouth, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So I was coming into the show like, all right, let's see how these first couple episodes go, and then we'll get into the actual show. But the first few episodes for me, 1 and 2, while I liked parts of the setup and stuff, it got really long and really boring, and it was really hard to get on board with the show. And after the second episode, I'm like, you know what? I don't know where this is going to go. I don't even know if I want to continue, but of course I wanted to do my review and then we would talk about it, whatever. But after episode 3, for me, is when the show really started to find its footing. And from episode 3 up until the last few episodes, I really enjoyed this show. I loved the dynamics between the characters. I loved Iron Fist and Luke Cage together. You get to see their comic book counterparts kind of shine on screen, and hopefully that's where the next couple series go, is the series with them together. And even Jessica Jones and Daredevil, I like seeing them together. I like seeing Jessica Jones teaming back up with Luke Cage. It's just,
I mean, let me stop you right there.
Show.
Let me
stop. Oh, go ahead, man.
What was the thing with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage? Because I thought Luke Cage was with the Night Nurse.
Dude, it was that a little triangle going on there. That was weird.
Is that a little trifecta of love or something? I mean,
romance.
Because, you know, he's kissing this girl, I call her the Night Nurse because that's what she is in the comics.
That's what she's
And then literally a few scenes or an episode later, they're kind of flirting with Jessica Jones. I'm like, wait, that's not how a superhero is supposed to be conducting himself. What gives here?
Exactly. Luke Cage is a ladies' man, dude. I mean, the girls love him, and I don't blame him. I love him, too.
He doesn't want to be nailed down.
He doesn't want to be a part of a relationship.
He doesn't want to be committed to Clea.
Clea.
All right,
you may continue on your spiel, though. I'm sorry.
No,
I didn't
interrupt. No, I completely agree with that. And well, that's the part of the show that I really liked is the characters interacting with each other. Seeing Stick on there and seeing him interact with Alexandra, I thought was super cool. I really thought the characters and the best part of the series for me, I didn't hate Iron Fist. Now, the first few episodes, he's,
I am the immortal Iron Fist. I am the immortal Iron Fist. Look at me. Do everything.
I am the immortal
okay,
Iron
was,
Fist.
I mean,
everybody's looking okay, at it like, what does that mean? What the heck is the immortal Iron Fist?
Here's what I loved about it. They gave him crap about being such a bastard. They gave him crap about it. But during episodes 4 and 5, I started to get on board with him because he started to have an arc. Iron Fist actually had a character arc. And I'm like, you know what? He's still an annoying little, but he's getting better.
Yeah.
And while he was the weakest member for me, I liked him more. And that is saying something after that series, because that series made me really dislike him. But Joe, I completely agree with you. When you get to the last few episodes, I felt something missing.
Yeah.
I liked the fights. I liked the fights more that took place in the light than the dark, because some of the fight scenes got super dark. And I get it, budget constraints, whatever. But I thought we were missing something towards the end. So overall, I will say that I really did love watching this series when it got really good. I loved watching all the action. I thought the action was way better than it was in Iron Fist. I thought the characters were wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I thought the script at times it worked. Now, the villain, the main villain, something happens towards the end. And am I allowed to?
Yes, there's spoiler. You can drop spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so she dies, right? And yeah. That was actually really cool because you get to see Elektra become the girl in power. But for me, I thought that kind of not in the same vein as the guy from Luke Cage that died, the one of my favorite villains ever.
And we're talking about Sigourney Weaver's character, Alexandra. But just in case.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like that was a little too soon. And I understand why they did it. But to me, it was just like, oh, okay, they killed her off Sigourney Weaver. I would have liked to have seen her towards the end. Whatever, but overall, I can say while there were some minor quips here and there, I enjoyed the series. Wasn't the best, you know, but it definitely wasn't the worst. So I can't wait for season 2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Lindsay Badger, what are your thoughts?
Bluebell vanilla ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was good.
There was not a lot of this and this. There wasn't a lot of emotional tie-in
for
me.
Some more crunch.
I need some more investment from the characters. Now, I know that we've covered all their origins and their backgrounds and their relationships to either have already been established. I get that coming into it, and they do very little of that to bring it in. If you're looking at Defenders on its own, there's a little bit of intro in there, which I thought was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was really slow for me. I didn't really get into the fighting nearly as much as probably the other shows, and maybe it's because at this point I'm kind of fighted out after cramming in all the Daredevil and the Jessica Jones and everything and all the hallway fights. I'm over all the hallway fights. That may just be me overstimulated on the fight level. I don't know. I loved Jessica Jones. She brought the humor.
She did.
Her whole point in this entire series was to make me laugh with her smartassery.
Yeah, I like that.
Because there wasn't a whole... Everything else was so serious.
Yeah.
It was all about, Iron Fist was the toddler of the group. He was always whining.
You need to be pacified every once in a while.
He was throwing a temper tantrum fist. I don't want to sit here. I want to go fight. I mean, it was like I was watching my 3-year-old downstairs while I was watching the show. And I was like, this is what my son does when I tell him no.
Yeah.
So maybe I was really turned off by Iron Fist, but the fact that it was so easy to get him to unlock whatever it was kind of like you waited 8 episodes just to walk up and be like, okay, there it is. Just walk on in. You know, I don't know. It was very predictable. And one thing that I think that was kind of in the back of my mind was, okay, so let's say that you're brand new to the meeting these characters and you want to start Jessica Jones series. You watch it all the way through and you don't even know that the Defenders exist because, you know, you're a newbie and you go into Jessica Jones, the next new season that's coming out. If you watch those back to back, how big of a gap is there going to be in that story?
probably a pretty substantial gap, because if you pick it
you're
up,
gonna
and,
yeah, so you're going to miss so much.
You're going to miss a lot of
and
backstory.
That's true for all of the characters, because there was a lot of character development with the relationships there. So,
oh yeah,
I think honestly, to get the full retrospective or perspective, is you need to watch them in the order that Netflix released them, which would be Daredevil season one, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. No, Jessica Jones, Daredevil season two. Luke Cage, then Iron Fist.
Right. Also, what did you guys think about the support characters being there? That they basically just got dragged to a fire, like the police station, to sit there.
Well, it was cool to see Misty Knight. It was cool to see her, because, you know, she had a kind of an important role with losing her arm.
She did.
We know that in the comics, especially if you go back in the 70s, Luke Cage's counter sidekick is Misty Knight, and she has the bionic arm.
Right.
And we've already seen dropped just this past week that Entertainment Weekly has released an image with Misty Knight and the bionic arm. So we know that's coming. Mm-hmm. I think the supporting characters, Claire, I think Claire kind of had a decent role. I mean, she wasn't utilized as much.
Right.
It was definitely cool to see Madame Gao interact with Alexandra. I love Stick.
We finally figure out the fingers of the hand.
Yeah, all five fingers in the hand. You understand a lot more about what the hand is and how it works. This secret organization of you know, drug lords and all of that. I think though on the frame, who was it that said that? Sigourney Weaver, I think it was Austin. Sigourney Weaver's character died way too soon. I think honestly was way too soon. Yeah, I think she should have went all the way up to episode 8, and there should have been that squabble should have happened. With the supernatural element, go ahead. I'm sorry, Lindsay.
I like how Elektra / Black Sky kept us on our toes on what side she was on through the whole show.
Yeah. Well, she's Marvel's equivalent of Catwoman.
I really, really liked how she walked the tightrope, per se, of both sides, and at the end you finally figure out what she's there for.
She does that. She does that mainly, too, in the comics as well. Elektra always walks that rope, and you never know. I honestly think when Marvel was creating Daredevil, I think that they were actually thinking about Batman, because you know the horned, the devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Batman, the Dark Knight, gets a similar. Mm-hmm. Batman is in love with Catwoman, who is either pro villain or villain or non villain or heroine. Yeah. And then, you know, Daredevil's in love with Elektra, who walks the fine line as well. And there's so many similarities there, but I think for me, of course, you know, we got Luke Cage. All right, so he's supernatural. Yeah. Daredevil is supernatural because of the accident with the toxic waste spill when he was a child. Jessica Jones was just born, Jessica Jones. And Iron Fist, there's definitely, you know, with Kung Lung, there's the
dragon.
I am the dragon. Mm-hmm. So we finally figure out what the dragon is towards the culmination of episode 8. And evidently, what the hand has been trying to do is blow up a part of this city to make this massive hole that goes 30 stories straight down to this secret vault where there's this giant dragon fossil underneath Manhattan.
It's a bigly dragon for sure.
We're not talking about a little tiny dragon. We're talking about a dragon that is pretty large. I mean, I don't know on scale of Game of Thrones dragon.
And conveniently, it was laying exactly in the same pattern as the tattoo.
Did you notice that? Yeah. He was laying in the same exact pattern.
Yes.
But so this definitely opens up the realm of even more supernatural now going into the next seasons ahead, because now we're into the world of dragons, where dragons exist in the world of Defenders.
Newbie question.
Yeah, sure.
Newbie question. How in the world are they getting eternal life from dragon bones? Are they like grinding it up? I saw them like sawing like slices off.
Yeah,
like it was
the elixir. Yeah, it's the elixir. So they grind it up and they consume it. And the dragon's bone has some sort of property in it. That's when they do the ritual, it can bring death back to life. Hence how Elektra was brought back. And so
And that's how Alexandra was staying alive
for so long.
And she used she used the last little bit of her elixir to keep herself alive for Elektra. So
my thing is, they have dragons in this universe now. Let's go that way. Let's just do something crazy and have a big freaking dragon in one of the next, like the upcoming Netflix
Falcor?
Shows. How awesome would that be?
We could do Falcor.
Dude, would that not be amazing? Here's the thing. Here's the thing with this show. Falcor! I mean, anyway. But here's the thing with this show is they teased this whole big the destruction of New York thing for so long. Ooh. Ever since Daredevil season one with Stick. We get to the end of the series. Was this the New York? Like, was this what was supposed to happen? Because really, a building crumbled and there was no dust clouds. I mean, it just kind of crumbled straight down. And everyone's just kind of
It's because Claire is a professional demolitionist.
I mean, it's just like
It's one of her many skills she learned in nurse school.
And that part was underwhelming to me.
Well, it was underwhelming, but here's too. It's so unrealistic. And let me explain. Of course, it's unrealistic.
It only took one bag of TNT.
It took one bag. But the entire building is a fake facade. There's nobody that works in the building. Okay, so when you demolish a building in lower Manhattan, like this building was in, not only is it going to affect everything around it, I don't want to pull this, but this is bad. We saw what happened with 9/11. You know, when buildings go down, all the other buildings crumble around it. Why was this building just perfectly fall straight down?
There's no possible way to avoid that.
They were standing right next to it.
It's so freaking unrealistic. I mean, I don't know. And I don't mean to offend anyone when I say that. I'm just talking about the visual aspect of what we have learned from buildings coming down. I'm not being disrespectful in any way. But we've saw what kind of damage and destruction one building can happen and around everything. Windows blowing out, complete city blocks.
You can go on YouTube and watch demolitions all day long, and you'll see what happens around. And those are controlled demolitions.
Yeah. How far away they can.
So that was very rushed, unrealistic. And, you know, if that was done in the MCU – I think it would have been done a whole lot differently and thought a little bit better. Because
Think of Age of Ultron when all the buildings are falling down and everybody's having to clear the area.
You hit it right out of my head. You know. Yeah. I was getting ready to think when the city went up and Sokovia Accords, and then it come tumbling down, massive destruction, massive loss of life. That's realistic.
Yeah.
This was just. It was rushed. I think
Go ahead.
No.
Finish your thought.
Finish my thought.
I had a different question, so I was just going to
No, I just think 6, 7, and 8 just
very rushed.
Rushed. And I think the only thing good parts, but rushed. I think the only good thing to come out of episode 8 was the build up of the next future seasons of these superheroes.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
So how did you guys feel about the internal battle with Daredevil? Putting on the suit, not putting on the suit, you know, the back and forth he had with himself.
I like that. What I didn't like about that was Foggy and
I felt like Foggy and girlfriend could have been gone, and
it all comes back to the police station for me. It's like the police station, while I liked parts of it, there were parts it's just like, why is this? And
why
then Foggy, they don't support him, and I don't know. At this point, you should
but
be supportive of him.
But he brings him the suit.
And then he brings him the suit at the end.
She didn't even know that he was him. Until today. And like, hello, how many seasons are we into this? Come on.
I don't know. That whole storyline to me was just so underwhelming. And that's one of the many plot lines we could have just snipped right out of the series. And it could have been more straightforward and focused. And I thought that would have made it a lot better. But it's just my
opinion. I mean, with the buildup, and I think we've been talking about this for, again, 6, 7, and 8, episodes 6, 7, and 8. I think – now, this is all me. When I say I think, I'm talking about my perspective, okay? I'm not talking about – I think they should just redo the whole thing. No, I'm not talking about that. Uh-huh. I'm thinking that they – with the buildup, you have Sigourney Weaver.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, let me finish it. You have Sigourney Weaver as your lead.
A legendary actress.
My God, she was in the original Alien. And you have Sigourney freaking Weaver. Why not utilize this woman's authoritative power in Hollywood? and use her and not kill her off two episodes before the finale. Yes, she was killed off in episode 6, which sucked. And why not use her and maybe let her be controlling the dragon, or let her be in charge of, you know.
Oh, my God.
Maybe they couldn't afford her for the last two episodes.
Maybe. I mean,
I don't know.
They could only pay her for doing 6.
The thing is, they tease her power throughout the entire season. I want to see her just – and there's one point when she almost fights one of the fingers of the hand, and I'm like, okay, this is awesome. Yeah. And then you cut it off, and she dies, and we never got to see it.
From the very beginning, she is a – you can see her as a former power, but she's weakened with her illness. And throughout the whole thing, you see her relying on other people for strength, where if she's supposed to be the leader, shouldn't everyone else be relying on her for strength?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah. I mean, if she is one of the main fingers of the hand, so to speak, and she is such a controlling dominant factor, even over Madame Gao. Because when Alexandra spoke to Madame Gao, Madame Gao was like, okay, I'll do it as best as I can.
I'm good.
All right.
She knows.
All right. So you have power. There's a struggle there. Utilize it. Don't kill her off.
And it's the first time we're actually meeting this character in this series. Right. And it's like, well,
quick vote. Most of the time we all hate the villain Rose. We just don't. We want them to get rid of. But there are some villains we love. Now, who here actually enjoyed Sigourney Weaver's Alexandra?
Oh, while she was on screen.
Yeah, she was awesome.
For sure. She was good. She was really good.
I wanted to hate her more.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's the Cottonmouth effect from Luke Cage. They kill off Cottonmouth and the whole series goes. And while it wasn't as severe with Defenders, because the series still, it didn't teeter off as much as Luke Cage did. Mm-hmm. When he killed off Cottonmouth, man. Same thing with Alexander.
He was phenomenal.
Cottonmouth made Luke Cage.
And then he goes on and wins the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Only six episodes.
Here's the thing with villains. When they die, you want to cheer when they die. And when Alexandra died, I was sad.
I was like, yeah, I was too.
But there's a thing in Hollywood called perspective storytelling. Okay, and so let me give you two examples, and we're wrapping up here. All right, so let's use Arrowverse, for example. Let's use Reverse Flash or Zoom. You watch the entire 24, 23 episodes in a whole season, and it's all you're trying to do is trying to figure out a way to beat this one villain. And by the time we get to episode 23 and 24, the finale, and you get to the big battle, we feel a sense of relief. We feel, okay, they figured it out. All right, let's switch gears over to the Defenders. Alexandra is the villain. The Hand is the villain. But it's reverse with her. You want to see her story develop and evolve. You want to know what her backstory is. How did she get into the position and the role she's in today?
Yeah.
How did she get into so much power? And so when you think about that, I didn't really want to see her die. I wanted to see her continue on because she has such a leading dominant role, even over Madame Gao. So you think about Zoom or Reverse Flash and Arrow, we're relieved. But when you think about Alexandra, I'm actually like, it sets me off and it kind of sends me back a little bit. It's kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like Austin said, it's the Cottonmouth effect. You kill the guy that you love to hate or hate to love. And then it's just kind of like, oh, okay, whatever.
What's left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's an awesome point.
Are we numbering this?
One? Yeah, this is 61. Yeah. Oh, we're numbering this. I'm sorry.
Let's number. We're numbering the episode. Let's rate it.
We're numbering it. All right. So Austin Burke, if you're going to do it a one, what do you do? 1 out of 10 or 1 out of 5?
Man, I do 1 out of. Oh, man, I do
Can
one
we just
out of
do
10.
Letters? Can we do letters?
No. Do 1 out of 5.
Oh, gosh. All okay. Right. 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 10?
One out of 10.
Okay. Here we go. So what I did when I first watched the series, I went on my YouTube channel and I gave Defenders a 7.8 out of 10, which is great. I'm rethinking that now. I'm rethinking with all the points that we brought up. I'm thinking about lowering it a little bit. So right now I'm going to need another watch, but I'm going to lower it to a 7.3. Okay. 7.3. is my number. And that sounds good. I just need another watch just to get all the, because there's a lot of things here that's I wanted more from. So yeah. 7.3.
Lindsay?
Didn't hate it, didn't love it. I'm going to throw an even 7 at it.
Okay. Okay. I want to do a 6.8.
Okay.
I'm gonna actually be the guy that actually gives it the lowest score. But respectfully, you know, respectfully.
Everyone has to have the low score sometime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But guys, we hope you have enjoyed our Defenders Roundtable discussion. I just love when we get together and do these kind of things because there's so many great ideas. Everybody's got their own thing about it, and I just love having these roundtable discussions with Team PopX, which is freaking awesome. And then having our amazing chat crew over here just kind of chiming in their little details. Darth Baca, we have Gwen's dad, we have Luke, we have Stacy. Oh my gosh, we can't thank you enough for hanging out with us here on PopX. And then all of our amazing people watching us wherever you may be seeing the stream from tonight, thank you so much for tuning in. But and as always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic book shop or around theater, around in theater or in pop culture general, and just let us know about it. And if you want to post that image up on Instagram or Twitter and use that hashtag YoPopX. Now, if you go see a movie with your family and you really loved it, let us share in your joy. Send us an image and we'll throw it on here. We would love to be able to feature you and your family or whatever you're doing in the comic book shop right here on PopX. So use the hashtag YoPopX.
Absolutely. And we are also part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
Yep. And if you're not already, make sure you check us out on the social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everywhere, it's at PopXCast. Send comments and suggestions to us via email at PopXCast@gmail.com. And also, for future and past shows, make sure you visit our official website, www.popxcast.com.
Absolutely. I am Austin Burke on YouTube, and there's a brand new app I want to bring up real quick. It's called Stardust. It's an app where you can literally create 30-second reviews and reactions for movies and trailers. It's super cool. I'm at the Burkinator on there. And I encourage you guys, if you're a movie fan and you're a comic book nerd, download that. It's awesome.
It sounds shiny.
Yes. It is so shiny.
It's actually really legit. I signed up. Austin said, hey, did you check this out? I signed up and just
I'm going to do it after the show, Austin. It's really cool.
Stardust. Be sure you download it.
Stardust. All right, guys. Well, you can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, all over the interwebs.
And I am Joseph Burke at Joseph Burke Arts on the web. And of course, hats off to always my amazing Team PopX and to Austin Burke up in Lexington, Lindsay Badger in Oklahoma City, and to Mike Ippolito, the man, the myth. He's returned. He's done his graphic love. We love
the
you,
man
Mike.
Behind
Whoa,
the curtain.
What's he doing here? He's doing some kind of funny image.
Phenomenal.
Yes, that's
those glutes though.
The split. Look at those that! Oh, he split the uprights there. Oh my gosh! I'm done, ladies and gentlemen. After that image, I can't unsee that.
That's fantastic.
So that's it for this episode of PopX. Be sure to join us in 2 weeks from now. Two Sundays from now, we'll be talking about the top 10 most underrated comic book films. All time. Now, these are the comic book films that are not getting the limelight. So we're talking about Spawn and Sin City and
Dick
all these,
Tracy.
Dick Tracy and The Watchmen and Flash Gordon. So this is going to be a really cool throwback.
Do I see some kick-ass in there?
There is. Yes. Oh, yeah. We'll be talking about it. The Rocketeer. We got The Rocketeer, Unbreakable. We got Bruce Willis going to be talking about. And, of course, Hellboy. We can't forget a little Ron Perlman love. So
what about Hancock?
Well,
ooh, a little bit of that's a good, interesting.
We can throw that's in some good. Hancock.
All right.
Just for you, Lindsay. Cool.
September 17th. Make sure you see us then.
All right, guys. From all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading, and we'll see you in 2 weeks right here on episode 62 PopX Cast. Take care.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXcast. Get your geek on.